Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We are joined by the Hall of Famer, Coach Kevin McHale, and we're cutting him some slack because it's a, do I dare say it, boys' week? But when the wife is away, golf he will play. So we're trying to get out of his golf schedule and get him right in the crosshairs to talk some NBA basketball so that he can get out and hit the little white ball this week. Coach, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Lynn's out in Hawaii visiting our son. So a lot of golf on the menu for me.
There's nothing wrong with that. And based on pictures I saw, your New Year's was good. But I will at least throw it out there to say Happy New Year. And hopefully you celebrated with the Chuckster and everybody in a very, shall I say, under control way.
It was a lot of fun. And we had a good time. And was able to see our good friend Chuck Barkley.
Yep,
and
yep.
Went to a party with Chuck and had a good time. Saw a lot of people. And stayed out way too late and woke up the next morning feeling not very good.
Which is exactly what you're supposed to do during those kind of circumstances. So I think that's phenomenal. One thing people don't realize, Charles Barkley is a big New Year's Eve guy. He normally has a New Year's Eve party wherever he is every year. It's now kind of meditated back to Phoenix where he is based. And it is a phenomenal laid-back experience that if you ever have the pleasure of being able to be in one of those, it is a good time had by all.
Yes,
Coach,
sir.
Want to talk to you a little bit first and foremost about what everybody wants to talk about here. The Rockets are obviously playing at a level that no one really expected to this high degree or before the season started, but you know, I continue to say this. James Harden, and I predicted this before the season started simply because of the fact not only did D'Antoni's system fit in, but when James feels outside what you call it, pressure, criticism, or motivation, he normally comes out swinging. He's been phenomenal. But before we get to James Harden, I just want to talk about the other pieces. I think that everybody kind of saw the signing of Eric Gordon as kind of an afterthought. They knew that they always wanted Ryan Anderson, but they got Ryan Anderson because they missed out on Horford and others. But I don't know that anybody could have seen the supporting cast coming up this big for this team this season to make it like the perfect storm.
Yeah, no, they've played very, very well, and James is playing as well or better than he's ever played his entire career. And, you know, they've got enough shooters out there with the style that Mike D'Antoni wants to play. And D'Antoni has done a great job of, I think, getting Montrezl Harrell in there. Decker's playing, you know, so he brought in some of the younger guys that you look at and you think, okay, they give a little energy, give some juice, and you know they play hard. They're not veteran guys, but they just bring energy that I like when I watch their team play. But they have enough shooters that some they're going to get hot. A couple of guys are going to get hot, and you know Trevor's always been a guy that can make the three, and when he gets hot, Trevor's capable of pulling a 6-for-8 from the 3-point line. Eric Gordon's played really well for them, but he's also another guy that can shoot at you know a really high percentage when he's hot. Anderson's the same thing. You know, James has got the ability to really knock down threes at a high rate. So they got a lot of guys. Patrick Beverley has historically been a nice corner shooter, a 3-point shooter in the corners. And so, you know, they got enough guys out there that they get it going, and they just put a lot of offensive pressure on you. They are not a team that is a great defensive team, but they're playing well enough defensively, but they just keep on scoring. They get in runs, and then they've caught a really nice rhythm. And, you know, you got to look at it right now, and two things as far as awards go. I mean, James has got to be right up there for the MVP award. And,
yep.
You know, Mike's got to be one of the top candidates for Coach of the Year.
Both just won their respective awards for their conference for the month. James, Player of the Month. D'Antoni just named Coach of the Month, so dead on with what you're saying there. The one thing, Coach, I think that goes kind of by the wayside because of how explosive this team is offensively, but for a team that was very much criticized because of their lack of defense in the past, what I noticed was, and looking at the numbers too, during the 10-game winning streak, they were at the top of the NBA in terms of their defense. But now, even though they're playing some tougher teams, but they're getting into a more of the meat of the season, defensively, their team defense has allowed them to do a lot more than people expected. I don't think they're getting enough credit for the fact that they're playing better defense than they have in the past, for sure.
Yeah, no. You're not going to win a ton of games and have a good record if you can't defend that time. There's just going to be nights you're just going to have to win a grinded out 95, 98 game. That's just the way the NBA is. They're not all going to be 125, 135 point nights where your offense is clicking. Offense comes and goes, but your defense usually can stand up, and defense travels a lot better on road games, so you've got to be able to defend when teams get on, their fans get excited, and the home team gets on a run. You still got to have good enough defense to shut that down and score enough points to keep pressure on them. But, you know, the really, when you look at the Rockets, to me, they just put a lot of offensive pressure on people. They come down, they take a lot of threes, they get hot from the three-point line, they go on these runs that are very impressive, where they're making shots. I think it makes the other team press a little bit. I think the other team gets down 6 to 8 points, and all of a sudden they start pressing a little bit because the Rockets keep scoring. And there's a lot of different, we've talked about this before, there's a lot of different ways that put pressure on teams, and the Rockets put a lot of offensive pressure where you've got to match them basket for basket. And they've got a lot of guys playing well. And at the end of the day, if you're going to put a good record up at the NBA, you have to have multiple guys playing well. You can't have one. It's not one guy is just going to carry you night in and night out. You need a team playing well. And they're finding a rhythm. I like their rotations. I just think that they're one of those teams that's just going to, I think, continue to get better and better, barring any kind of injury or any kind of, you know, unforeseen stuff.
You know, speaking of defense, Coach, taking it to the other end of the spectrum, Michael Malone just came out, told reporters how bad he thinks his defense is, called him a joke right now, worst in the NBA. As a coach, how do you get that message across, maybe without lighting your whole team up in the media like he did? Now, I remember a scenario, I think it was last year, when you benched all 5 starters at the same time because you weren't happy with their performance. Is that sending the message, or were you okay with saying something to the media as well?
No, I didn't like saying anything to the media. I mean, if I had something to say, I like to say it to the guys, you know, to their face in front of the team. And hey, this is just not good enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, your team's only going to be as good as your top players push it to be. And, you know, you can't play for them as a coach. And you can't go out there. You can't instill, you know, desire in them. They've got to want to do it. They've got to go out there. And, you know, and I know Mike's frustrated, and that frustration's coming out right now, and, you know, and ripping everybody in the media. But you know what? If you're going to rip them, it works a hell of a lot more effective to stand in front of them face-to-face, call them out. You got something to say, say it. You can't really respond unless you want to get into some kind of bizarre, you know, media war with your coach. Give them a chance to get it out their chest, too. Maybe they got something to say. I don't know. You're all grown men. You can surely iron out your differences standing there in front of them and telling them what you want out of them. But I've never liked the media approach. I haven't been a guy that I didn't like it as a player, and I didn't like it when I was GMing, and so I never, you know, or when I was coaching, just never liked it. I don't think that's how you do things. I think you challenge them man to man. And at the end of the day, those guys in that locker room have got to be the guys that stand up and play. But I know Mike's frustrated, and they can be better. And I saw where Jeff Hornacek just said, you know, I'm not sure my team is good enough to play the defense we have. If you're a really crappy defensive team, you got to junk it up. You got to play defense. You got to play zone defense. You got to trap. You got to do a bunch of junk, but you got to junk it up. If your guys are just suck at individual defense, you've got to do some stuff to help them, and you got to junk the game up and see if you can't find some gimmicks that can defend.
I like it. Kevin McHale joining us. Coach, how many times did you do that where you took out all 5 starters at the same time to send a message? Was that the only time in your coaching career?
No, and I've done it before, I think. I don't really remember. You know, to me, I never thought that was that big of a deal. If they all stink, get them out of there. I come from hockey, where so you have a line change. Just get them out, you know. And, you know, hey, look, you got to go to the bench. Then all 5 guys walk off, and you know, I think they all feel, you know, bad or whatever. But who cares? You go to the bench, sit down, get something to drink, and think, I got to play better. I've never had a coach yank all 5 guys out because they're playing too good. I've never seen a coach say, you know, my damn team is playing so good, I'm going to yank all 5 of them out and hope I can destroy the flow of this game. You're basically, that's your last resort. You probably made a couple substitutions, or they're so bad, you look at them and go, everybody go sit down. Just, you guys got nothing right now. Just go to regroup. But it's NBA games are long games. And you know, I think now with the everybody's so sensitive, and God, someone does something, or someone says something, and everybody gets their panties in a little wad. I mean, just relax, go out there and go play basketball. I've often said, they pay you to play a game that you played for free. You go down to the park and look for a game. Now, if you get a good 3-on-3 game, you played for 3 or 4 hours, you know, just for fun. And now they're paying you millions of dollars to do it. Man, you know, it drives me crazy when I hear all these players whining about everything.
Coach, we're going to take a quick break, come back with much more on the NBA and you, because believe me, I know that you are now a member of the media. So no matter how much you hated that media game and all those evil names I can't repeat on radio that you used to call the media, you are now a member. So it has its privileges. I'm just letting you know.
I'm looking for those privileges. Let me know when we get back.
Kevin McHale is going to be with us for another segment. Please feel free to join us. We'll be back. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we get our second segment in with the Hall of Famer, Coach Kevin McHale. And Coach, I think you probably have gotten some wind of this by now, but down on Kirby, home of the Texans, they have a coach general manager thing going on right now. People pointing fingers at each other, people not knowing who's to blame for what and who had their hand in what cookie jar to bring what players in. You've been on both sides of the equation. How delicate of a balance is that? And how tough is it when things go wrong as opposed to when you're cruising along doing things right?
Oh, it's always much better when things are much easier when things are going right. But the reality is that I mean, you got to keep all that stuff. We just talked about keeping stuff in the locker room. You know, at that point, you got to keep all that stuff behind closed doors. I mean, you got to sit down there and talk. And if you can be honest with each other and say, hey, look, I never liked that guy coming in here. We shouldn't have done this trade. I told you we shouldn't have done this trade if you're the coach. I mean, and it doesn't work as a GM. You got to sit there and say, yeah, you know, you're right. You do have a lot of interplay. What happens sometimes is that if the GM just does stuff on a whim and says, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, doesn't really consult the head coach, there you end up at times like just going like, man, you know, what's that all about? But if you communicate and talk it through and are honest with each other and honest, you know, you can get through most things together, because there's going to be a time, hey, when things don't go well, people want accountability. If the head coach stands up and says, I tell you what, I didn't want my offensive right guard, I didn't like the tight end that we got, and I thought we didn't need a blocking back, and we got another running back, and that's why we can't run the ball. And the GM says, yeah, that's true. What do you get? I mean, there's not a lot of beef. The problem is there's always a lot of revisionist history in that whenever anybody makes it, everybody says, I knew the guy would be great. And when the guy doesn't do well, that wasn't my choice. That was someone else's choice. And I think that's what destroys so much of that relationship between GM and coach.
Coach, let me ask you something on that point, too, because, you know, it's one thing to say in the draft that the general manager drafted his guy didn't get your guy. Or it's one thing to say, hey, you like a player, but he's thinking about now in the future, for whatever his reasoning might be, he may trade that player. But I want to know about communication, because what they're talking about now is who was in the discussions when they signed Brock Osweiler. As head coach in any sport, in professional sports, it just seems to me that if the general manager is going to make a move, especially for a position that's going to be very, very key in your offensive schemes, that you're going to be involved in the decision as the head coach. At least you're going to be informed, and there's going to be an inquiry with you about what you feel about player A, simply because you're going to have to deal with them. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there better be. I mean, if they just go out and all of a sudden they get a guy who wants to do the West Coast offensive football, and they get a standard drop back, Can't really throw the routes that you need in that offense. Quick reads, all that stuff. You don't have that quarterback. How are you going to run it? I mean, you have to match up the philosophy with the coach, with the personnel. And there are times that doesn't happen. I got to believe that they asked the coach, hey, you know, can Brock, can you do these things that you need him to do? If the answer is no, then you got to move on to another guy, because usually on your list of potential replacements or whatever you're looking for, you have four or five guys, and you sit down with each other and you say, this guy works better, that guy doesn't work, and okay, it's our first choice. A lot of times you don't get your first choice. Sometimes you don't get your second choice, but I mean, hey, if he was the third choice for everybody, well, that's just kind of what you got. And again, you know, when you're able to discuss those things and talk it out, and raise questions about guys that you don't like and tell them why you don't, as a coach, why you don't want that guy coming in. Or a lot of times what's happened is that, especially starting now in basketball, when you have a lot of different GMs coming in, a lot of the guys that are just numbers guys, you know, they come in with all the metrics and stuff, they might say, well, I want this guy, he fills these boxes. And then you say, that guy is the worst teammate in the history of basketball. We can't have that guy in our team. And how do you know that? Well, you know that because you talk around the league, and everybody, it's a very, very small league, and everybody knows what's going on in each other's teams. And so those are the things I think that you've got to work out and work together as a group.
Coach, there's some rumors going around about the Rockets targeting Kosta Koufos in a potential trade. Any thoughts on that? I mean, do you think they're set there, or do they need to make a move?
You know, I think Koufos is a good enough player. I don't know. I would say that if he came in, I would say Capella probably, a healthy Clint Capella probably fits in better than Koufos. And, you know, that they might want to get a little bit bigger, I think, because there's, you know, you start looking down the road and you say, okay, if we match up against the Memphis Grizzlies, we're going to have some size out there. You know, we're not going to be able to just, play small ball all the time, because they're going to pound you with Randolph. Gasol is playing at a really high level, and they'll play a little bit big once in a while. Or we're playing, the Clippers, and Blake gets back healthy, and they pound you a little bit. So you kind of got to look over the whole thing and say, we have to have enough big bodies that can play for these certain type teams. And you know, the reality is that, you know, some of those teams you don't need big guys in the Western Conference. But again, If San Antonio gets their, you know, Gasol and Aldridge playing really well together, you have to have enough size to combat that.
Yeah, Coach, one more question for you. The Odell Beckham Jr. thing, I don't know if you saw this, but he was down in Miami partying, on an off day a week before playoffs. As a coach or a GM, how would you feel about that, seeing your players out partying? It's their day off, I get it, but a week before a big game like that.
Well, hey, look, he comes back and he says, I hope you had fun, you better produce. And, put it on them. I mean, hell, I went out and had a few beers, too many beers maybe before games, but I went like the next day, I believe, I better go bring it. You're an adult. I mean, you know, you're responsible. And sometimes, you say, hey, man, hope you had fun, because we're going to practice. That's what we're doing. We're all attentive. And then you can say, hey, man, some of you walk in front of everybody and say, well, some of you cats seem to want to party more than play. Let's go find out. And you practice, and you put them on, as the fellas say, you put them on Front Street and say how you like it. And that's not a bad thing. I have no problem saying, hey, I hope you guys had fun last night, but we got practice today, we got a game tomorrow. And in the famous words of Dave Collins, are you going to be able to hoot with the owls and soar with the eagles, baby, if you can't go to bed? If you can, come out with me. That's what Dave told me one night.
Coach, Demo, finally the saga ends. He signs with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. 1.1 million veterans minimum. At this point, is it just about having to prove to the league that he's healthy and try and put the Rockets in his rearview mirror? Because it has been, by any account, a disaster.
Yeah, for everybody. I mean, really, Demo took just a massive hit on financially. And then, honestly, I don't think the Rockets look bad in this whole thing, too. You know, the matching and the cutting them. And it was just bad all the way around. Demo needs to go to New Orleans, get healthy, help those guys who are playing better now. They've been playing about 500 ball after that horrendous start, and just get them playing at a higher level. Get you know, everybody see him healthy. Let him do his thing. So hopefully next summer he can sign one of those bigger deals and go to a team that he wants to. And you know, there's so much when you're injured in this league, and you know, you flunk two physicals. There's just so many teams that won't touch a guy. They're just like, I'm not going to. You can't get insurance for him. There's so many things. You know, like when you're a GM, you get a player at $36 million. Demo probably is not insurable right now with his back. There's not an insurance company that wants to take that risk. So that all just lays on your books. You know, if you have insurance on guys, at least the insurance company's paying what they're hurt if they get injured. But Demo doesn't have that, I'm sure. And so there's a lot of other things that go into it. Because Demo's a great guy. I really like him. I just hope he's healthy. He gets out there and plays, does his thing, ends up with a team that he wants to play on, and gets paid a ton of money and just can continue his career. And hey, his stay here in Houston was over, and it was time for him to move on.
Coach, football this weekend, Houston, who you picking? Raiders, Texans?
Ooh, well, I would have said Raiders, definitely. But, you know, with the injury to their quarterback and stuff, man, hey, let's go Texans. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they had a good record. But you take off a major piece like that, man. It throws your team into a little bit of a funk. And this is a great weekend. These next 2 weekends for me are really the best weekends of pro football. Game Saturday, game Sunday. I'm going to play golf in the morning, Joel, and watch golf all day.
How great is that? Wife's out of town.
Yep.
And you get Saturday and Sunday football and golf in Arizona. Doesn't get much better than that. And I'm sure the beer's still cold there. So
I just went out and I bought a couple cases of Coors Light that should get me through the weekend, I hope. And
then you're drinking carbonated urine as opposed to a Milwaukee beer. That's when you hurt me.
I know. But hey, I'm a Coors Light guy. I left old Milwaukee and Schlitz a long time ago, brother.
Hey, don't forget about Miller, please, and Pabst before you go too far. Hey, have a great weekend. Right. Hit them straight. Enjoy some football. But thanks for joining us as always.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.